Non-alcoholic wine is one of the fastest growing categories in food and drink, but it's also one of the most misunderstood. And today we have got our lovely clients here from Vino Zero. So welcome Fiona, welcome Alex. It's so good to have you on Fueling Foodies, episode 18. So welcome.
Thanks.
Yeah, let's start with who you are and a little bit about Vino Zero.
Yeah, so Vino Zero is a non-alcoholic wine import and distribution business. We cover three routes to market. So we work with wholesalers, we work with what we call direct trade. Some people might call it on-trade, so directly into hotels, restaurants, cafes. And then we also have an e-com side of the business, which is how we know you guys, I guess.
So obviously we've got some of the products here. So some of the guys that are listening to us will have seen your products before, might have seen you online. But do you want to just talk a little bit about what Vino Zero stands for, a little bit about the range, what you supply, where people can find you, just a little bit more?
Sure. Yeah. So I think the main way to describe us, and I think the reason we really started, is we like to call it inclusive hospitality. So it's about including or considering everyone equally. And that kind of came about after I went through a period of trying to figure out my relationship with alcohol for a few years. And during that time, the main thing that me and Alex did together before I kind of started trying to figure out my relationship with alcohol was we'd go out and eat and drink together. So we go to restaurants, we go to bars, and Alex will talk to his own story in terms of his love for wine. But, you know, enjoying a good glass of wine was absolutely part of the thing that we love to do together and the thing I love to do with my friends. And when I started trying to figure out what my relationship with alcohol looked like, choosing not to drink was, it was very clear to me when I went to restaurants, hotels, whatever it might be, that actually choosing not to drink meant that actually I would be less than in some way.
Yeah.
So I'd sit around a table, I'd be offered a glass of water, I'd be offered an elderflower sparkle, which, you know, whatever, it's great. But if you're spending 40, 50, 60 pounds a head and everyone else is enjoying a beautiful wine pairing and I'm being offered a glass of water, then that doesn't really feel like you're kind of taking part. So this whole idea of inclusivity and feeling like you're part of the experience became really quite important to me when I was kind of trying to figure out that relationship with alcohol. So I was like, just because I'm not drinking alcohol doesn't mean that I don't get to have the same experience that everyone else does. So, and I'm going to let Alex speak to his own part as to why.
And we need to do a proper intro to where Alex is in a minute as well, because he is not here with us in the studio, but keep going.
Yeah. So when I kind of explained to Alex that I was like, well, actually now I'm not drinking and now I'm not enjoying alcohol or not choosing not to drink alcohol, actually going out to eat and drink doesn't feel as fun anymore. And I feel a little bit excluded. And I started, I guess, kind of isolating myself a bit more. And then cue Alex, who was also going through his own, I guess, process with wine, and that he was retraining. And I'm going to let you describe your own story, actually, Alex.
So, Alex, welcome to Fueling Foodies. Tell everybody where you are in the world as well, because you are not in grey England where it's raining and it's cold and it's horrible.
No, thanks so much. It's really nice to be here with you, and we appreciate you having us on and giving us a chance to introduce our little business and ourselves. Yeah, you're right. I'm here in Canada right now. I'm over in BC on the West Coast. I moved here a few years ago. It's also cold, by the way, but yeah.
Nice cold, though, because you've got loads of snow.
Nice cold,
here.
Snowy cold. Yeah, yeah, and some sunshine. But I spend my time between the UK and Canada. And obviously, me and Fee work very closely on building our business out there. But I moved here a few years ago. And when I did, like Fee said, we've always loved food and wine. And moving here, where I live in Canada, is kind of the wine region of the country. A little bit of a Napa Valley type vibe here in Canada. We've got lots of lovely vineyards and wineries around, and so it was a chance for me to change up my life in lots of ways and dive into the world of wine. So started working at different vineyards, wineries, hotels, restaurants, getting into hospitality and training to be a sommelier, and do my formal education and really understanding and appreciating and loving wine and hospitality in a whole new way. And so when Fee decided to begin and embark on a sober journey, it kind of coincided with me really diving into wine and hospitality. And so through her experience, and also, you know, my parents and my partner and lots of people that I love most in life, alcohol wasn't really working for them, or they didn't really see it as a part of their life. And so through the experience of lots of close people to me, especially Fiona, I could see that the wine industry and hospitality was kind of falling short in lots of ways. And as Fiona talked about, you know, inclusivity is what hospitality is all about for me and her and lots of other people. And so that's our understanding of true hospitality, is including everyone equally and considering everyone equally. And so I could see that there was this big gap in terms of trying to find a white wine or any wine for Fee to enjoy, and lots of others in the same boat. So it was back in kind of spring 2023, I think, that I really started diving into the world of dealkalized wine. Obviously, I was well-versed at that point in the world of wine in general, but I was determined to see what was out there and find something for my best friend to enjoy. And that was the rabbit hole that I dived into. And yeah, most of it was awful, actually, and so poured it down the sink. But there was a couple of little gems and a couple of kind of glimmers of hope. And so just really went on a big mission to contact producers that were showcasing the best quality, with an intention of making them more available to everyone everywhere. So whether that's, you know, picking up a shop from the shop and being able to enjoy it at home with friends or family or your Black Labrador, or if, you know, you're out and about, making sure that there's some good options on the menu. So we work very closely with lots of hospitality partners, training teams, and making sure that they have access to some really great quality, because that's what we're all about, is finding the quality non-alc options, and building that trust that what we showcase is the best out there, because there's so much bad stuff. And so we just really wanted to fill that gap where we could, build confidence that what we supply and what we source and showcase and the people we work with are the best out there. So that was a few years ago, and we've had a wild ride this past couple of years building something amazing together that really kind of resonates with our values as best friends too.
So I'm actually a business architect by trade, and when Alex introduced me to the wines, and I was like, we sat down and we had a dinner with a group of friends, and for the first time, and I was 18 months sober at that point, I sat down and enjoyed one of the wines, and I was like, I woke up the next morning and I was like, I sat and I drank a bottle of wine last night that didn't have alcohol.
You drank like six.
Yeah, so drank and dry. I still do that, by the way. I've been doing it since I was about 18, and I at nearly 40, I still drink and dry. Just in different ways. And I woke up the next morning and I said to Alex, I was like, do you know what, that wine, for the first time in that whole period that I've been trying to figure out how not to drink, I was like, I wasn't aware that I wasn't drinking alcohol.
Yeah.
And I suddenly felt very part of the experience, part of the group, part of, you know, I wasn't just sat there going, oh, when's this going to be over? And my glass of water's nearly done.
Yeah.
And it was really like pivotal in terms of my sober journey, in inverted commas, in ultimately you can sit, you can enjoy hospitality, you can enjoy a dinner party, you can have a lovely evening without drinking alcohol.
Yeah,
as well.
which is really, it's a difficult thing, isn't it? Because there's that feeling, isn't there, when you are always the designated driver.
Yeah.
And you're sat there with your elderflower, and, you know, 9 times out of 10 between me and my husband, I'm always the designated driver.
Yeah.
And you just get so frustrated, don't you?
Well, it's also not just, and you guys must know this as well, right? When you go to your networking events and your corporate stuff and you turn up and they're like, oh, you're not drinking, there's your elderflower sparkle.
Yeah.
And actually the difference of being offered a glass of sparkling non-alc that's really delicious and being able to walk around a room,
yeah,
and people not going, oh, why aren't you drinking?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is a massive thing, because actually not drinking alcohol is the only addiction that you can have,
yeah,
or dependency that you have that people question you for not having,
yeah,
as well. And so when Alex first introduced me to the wines, I was like, wow, that was a whole different experience.
Yeah.
And then, as I mentioned at the start of my rant, I'm a business architect. So we woke up in the morning and I was like, oh, we're going to have to make this available in the UK. And I think within, 3 weeks... we'd set up the business, landed 4 pallets of wine.
Yeah.
And I was like...
So speed. It happened really quick. really quickly.
Alex was studying studying at the time for his like his diploma, and he was like, "You've done what?"
So I guess that takes us into why is non-alcoholic wine exploding so much right now? Because I think especially in the UK, and Alex can't really talk about Canada so much, but especially in the UK, it's definitely really pivotal right now. And it's something that is becoming more and more talked about everywhere I go, that there are more options. And I think I was saying to you before we started the podcast, I went into Marks and Spencer's at the weekend, and on their major aisle, which is normally, you know, the fantastic featured products to buy, it was this wonderful product. Mm. Not obviously your product that's right in front of us, but it was a non-alcoholic option, which is fantastic. So why is the market exploding so much right now?
Well, there's loads of facts and figures, right? You're going to go online and you're going to find a load of data, and some of it will be real and some of it won't be real. But in general, we experience around 30% of consumers are looking for good non-alcoholic options when they walk into a bar, walk into a restaurant, when they're shopping online.
That's massive.
Yeah. And so ultimately, the alcohol space is a declining space, and that's for a variety of reasons. I think wellness, and people are more considering their health and what that means for them. Yeah. And I think gone are the days of when we were at university where you turn up and you binge drink like 700 drinks and blackout. Like, that isn't so
with your WKDs or whatever it used to be.
Straw Peter your reefs. Yeah. Like, that's not a thing anymore. And I don't think that the generation below us are actually looking at doing that anymore.
No.
But also, I know for myself, like, I want to get a good night's sleep. I work really hard. I don't want a hangover in the morning.
Yeah.
I train really hard. I want to feel good when I'm at the gym. Like, all those things are really important to me. And yeah. I think that space where previously people just felt like, oh, I might just get a glass of wine, they're going, actually, now there's some really fantastic options that I can choose that don't necessarily have alcohol within it as well.
So is now a good time to talk about what Vino Zero in terms of products? What can we get from you guys?
Yeah, so I'm going to let Alex do this because he is the master of our beautiful portfolio.
That's it.
Well,
perfect.
Yeah. And it's a good tie-in because I do think, to touch on your point as well, you know, the reason that de-alcoholized wine or non-alc wine is becoming more prevalent is also the quality is improving massively. Like, we couldn't have our business the way it is a few years ago because the quality just wasn't there yet. The expertise, the know-how, the technology, and the demand to an extent, although that creeping of increased demand is what's got things started. And then the continued increase in demand is what helps producers confidently invest in better grapes, better wine, better technology and equipment and winemaking. And so what we're seeing is this really nice reinforcing dynamic between producers and the market where the quality is improving all the time, demand is improving, and both of those things help each other out. And that wine that you can see right in front of you, which is the latest from Dive In, which is a producer from the Loire Valley. This is their third wine in their Vigneron series, which is like their premium collection. And this one is a sparkling Chenin Blanc de Blanc. And I like to talk about this wine as a wine, which I know sounds a little bit weird, but like, this is one of the, you know, few wines in this exciting, innovative category we have in de-alkalized wines, where I don't even necessarily need to think about it in that way that, oh, it's one that doesn't have alcohol, so I have to think about it specially in that way. This is just a delicious wine. Like, if I was handed this at a party or at a tasting event, no one told me what it was, I would just really enjoy it for the taste, complexity, balance, and flavor. I'd be looking for another glass, regardless of whether it was alcohol or not. So this is a perfect example of how this is just a great wine. Whether you drink alcohol or not, it is kind of irrelevant. It's delicious. It's beautiful. And as you can tell, I'm going to be drinking a lot when I'm back in the UK next week. But what's really exciting is this is one example of how producers are really upping their game in terms of quality. We are obviously positioning ourselves and working with producers that represent the very best in the field. So we have wines in our portfolio and on our trade sheet that represent very much the true characteristics of what that wine is supposed to be. So our Chardonnays absolutely taste like Chardonnay. You wouldn't mistake it when you gave it a smell, or once you hit your palate, you would know that that's a beautiful Chardonnay. Same for the Sauvignon Blancs, the Pinot Noirs, the Merlot Tenets that we have, some of these amazing wines we're bringing in the next couple of weeks as well. That's the extensive oak barrel aging, lots of layers of complexity and depth. And there's so much going on that you just don't even really think about the fact there's not alcohol there. You're just enjoying it for what it is, which is really exciting for us and what I think is the whole point of what we're trying to do.
And do you think that there's a barrier so do you find that consumers come to you and they are alcohol drinkers and you're trying to convert them, or have they already converted when they're in this process with you?
I think there's a mix.
Okay.
I think that there's a mixture of people that turn up and they're curious but a little bit resistant and hesitant to it. I think that there are people that are already converted and have already tried 75 of different non-alc wines and they're just looking for their new favourite.
Yeah.
And then there are those that are just like, well, it doesn't taste like wine. But I think that that last category is very much like that's a dwindling space because to Alex's point, the quality now is actually really, really excellent. And we get consistent feedback about all the time of being like, wow, I'm really surprised. That was really good.
And I think exactly, Alex, like you're saying, if you go back, even like 5 years, if you go back to like non-alcoholic wine, it was just, the quality was never there, was it? And it was awful.
Well, I think it went out the gate a little bit too fast.
Yeah.
And they hadn't established the quality. They hadn't established the complexity and taste. I think that you had a whole group of consumers that tasted it.
Yeah.
And then went, oh, that's not nice. And then didn't go back to it again.
Yeah.
And I think that there's been such significant investment and time and energy gone into some really big producers all the way through Europe. They've got to spend a lot of money on trying to work out how to ensure that they're producing wines that are really excellent.
Yeah.
And they're not, you know, they are wine without alcohol. They aren't non-alc wines. They're wine without alcohol.
Yeah.
And people that really care about wine or, you know, really care about the complexity, the taste, the depth, the flavour, whatever it might be, or some people don't, they recognise it as wine. And I think that's the difference.
And do you find, so obviously, how Vino Zero, when was it set up?
So I came back from visiting Alex and Tom in February 24. Yeah. And then we'd set up the business and landed our first pallets, I think, within a month of that.
So you guys are still really new out the gates of what you're doing. And just thinking about where you are now and that sort of growth phase, even in the last sort of 6 months that we've known you, is just incredible.
I think we've put 300% growth in the last 12 months. And we've gone from, you know, we're really lucky in that we had warehousing, we were able to get started very quickly. But we've gone from kind of having quite a simplistic route to market, and we're now running three routes to market. So our online store, we work with big wholesalers such as Tulkchard, St. Austell, Inexpress.
Yeah.
And then we have a whole direct trade route to market as well.
So it's just incredible because that shows the category is not only growing, but you guys are just absolutely going out the gates with what you're doing, and the products that you're doing, your customers are loving.
Yeah, and ensuring that we're finding, you know, Alex does an amazing job of curating a portfolio that is really outstanding.
Yeah.
Like, and, you know, the reason why we're doing so well is that we just won't list and we won't supply and we won't, you know, we won't supply wines that we wouldn't fully get behind. And, you know, I want to ensure that I would want to sit at every single table and drink that bottle of wine and mean it when I say I enjoy it, not just because I can.
Yeah.
So, you know, the products are really excellent. We're really proud of our portfolio, and we're also really proud of the fact that we're able to really successfully move products around within three spaces in an effective way as well.
Yeah. So what does the future of Vino Zero hold? Because that's such a big question. What's have we got anything exciting to look forward to? Obviously, we work with you behind the scenes, so I'm not going to say anything. But, you know, what's on the horizon for Vino Zero? Because I think it's such an exciting future that you've got ahead of you with what you've built.
Yeah, so I think there's a lot of more of the same, right? You know, we're building our wholesale market. And, you know, our key thing is that we want to ensure that we're getting as many wines and drinks in front of other people.
Yeah.
We're developing our portfolio to, you know, to be beyond wine. But again, it's very important to us that we still, you know, we still really get behind those drinks. We've just introduced a brand called Franka, who are just the most amazing brother and sister from Sweden. And they've produced this like small format batch Nordic Spritz, which is just so, so excellent.
It looks amazing as well. And I've never tried them, but it's making me want to try them.
Yeah. So more, and then lots of big events that are coming up this year. We're hoping to partner with some, you know, some of the similar people that we did last year alongside Silverstone and the Pop-Up Hotel.
We've also... Right. So let's not brush past that. Where did you go last year and who did you partner with? Because that was pretty cool.
The Pop-Up Hotel, and we were the non-alc partners for them alongside Silverstone and Glastonbury.
Amazing.
Yeah. It was fun.
It looked really fun. I saw the pictures and you both looked so cool.
Yeah, it was a lot of work, but it was a lot of fun, you know, and it was important to us. It was, lots of work. We had a great time. It was really amazing for us to have the opportunity to place, you know, a real good selection of non-alc options at high profile events in front of people where they hadn't necessarily had that before, and a different kind of hospitality. And I think it's important for us as a business and as advocates of non-alc to step into spaces which aren't necessarily in natural habitat in some ways, and kind of meeting consumers and customers in different spaces, and kind of really those high profile events help you know, expand and promote this awesome category. And so many people were appreciative of being able to enjoy Glastonbury, but also have non-alc, you know, and it doesn't have to be a certain way.
We even felt at Glastonbury, like the whole wellness and recovery piece was suddenly becoming more of a really more important to people. So there was a whole space of people that were doing like the NAD injections and the IV drips, and they had the saunas and the ice baths, like that whole waking up in the morning and recovering and feeling good about yourself before maybe going out into the festival and doing whatever you wanted. So that piece about balance is like really important to people as well.
So are you going to be at Glastonbury again this year?
Well, Glastonbury's not on this year. It's a fallow year.
You can tell I'm not a diehard Glastonbury. That's it. I'm not tall enough for Glastonbury.
But we would be.
So yeah, we hope to work alongside Pop-Up Hotel again this year.
Nice.
And I, you know, we're excited, you know, for our day today. I mean, we've got big, big plans, and we want to expand well beyond the Southwest, which is our home region. But you know, like next week, we're doing a really fun, intimate, small wine and cheese tasting event with an independent retailer that we've worked with for several years, and we love those direct customer events where we're supporting local and meeting people directly and pouring a wine and that really intimate connection. We love that. So we'll continue to always do that kind of thing to much bigger events. He's going to be in Birmingham later this month supporting the Sober School, and we're going to be doing Silverstone and maybe some of the like big horse racing events this year, and just some of the bigger picture hospitality events in the UK will be involved in, absolutely. But for us, it's a full spectrum. We love you know, small, medium and large events, anything we can do, because non-alc is needed and wanted in so many spaces. And so it's really cool to be involved and kind of jump into lots of different styles of events throughout the year.
And that's when you get that feedback as well of them saying like, oh my goodness, this is amazing, or you know, this is my favorite over this product, or whatever it might be. It's that real time, real people feedback right in front of you, which you can't ever beat.
No, you can't. And it's also really like fantastic to see that you get that whole piece about non-alc is suddenly becoming not a less than and a like afterthought. It's like very much part of the bigger picture.
Yeah.
It's part of the main stage. It's like people are looking for really fantastic options.
Yeah.
And if you give the consumer now a substandard option, they're going to go, that's not good enough.
Yeah.
We want something better. Yeah. We know there's something better out there.
Yeah. So, in terms of obviously learning fast, because it's such a fast moving category, do you find as though, or do you feel as though you have to move really quickly with it? And the products, Alex, so when we're talking about what products, you know, you want to add to the portfolio or whatever that might mean, do you have to move really fast in this space?
Like, I think, you know, everyone has plans, right? And then you have to be able to react to those plans and change them as quickly as possible. Me and Alex are on the phone to each other 4 or 5 hours a day, every day. Alex will turn up at the World Alcohol Free Awards and judge this year. There'll be products there that he'll go, actually, and that's how Franca ended up in our portfolio. We judged it, he looked at it and he said, actually, we need that in our portfolio. Yeah. We then have to reassign budget and go, actually, we need to look at something else at this point. So yeah, we are consistently working out what's going to be the best place to be, and actually, are there better events we need to be turning up at? Is there a better place we need to put our marketing budget? Is there, we need to put more budget into our inventory, because actually it's a whole new product that Alex has tasted and he knows that in 6 months' time it's going to be huge. So yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And in terms of that direct to consumer, so that sort of e-com space and that direct trade for you guys in terms of focuses, is it that the online space is the smallest or the biggest, or what's,
no, so
what
I think
it's like?
It's about 30% of our revenue at the moment, which is actually about industry, or just probably slightly above industry standard now. What's really
above,
it's doing really well. Down to you guys as well, right? But I think what's really interesting for us, and me and Alex have the conversation actually quite regularly, in that we want to test a product.
Yeah.
And we want to go, oh, it's maybe a really high premium wine that would be harder to get into an on-trade, but you test it online. You can see if there's a demand from the consumer.
And
you
quickly.
Can see if you're purchasing it. So we know, for instance, on our online shop that almost none of our classic or kind of mid to low range wines are selling as well as our premium options. All of our premium options are picked on for almost every single order at this point. So we're able to test products on our, now we've kind of built up that database, built up that route to market, that we're able to go, well, that product's not working for us. So why would we try and push that into trade as well?
Yeah. Interesting, isn't it? And I suppose because it's online as well, you can test faster and pull things and put things online at speed.
And because it's a category that, especially in the on-trade and the wholesale space, they're a little bit more cautious. Like, why would they invest in it, right? Why would they get it on the menu? Why would they spend the time to list it and get it all into their systems, get it on their menus, train all their staff on it, if at the end of the day, it's just not going to sell? So if we're able to look to our online store and go, well, hey, hang on a minute, this is one of our best sellers, then it gives them a little bit more evidence as to why they might get behind it as well.
So a little sort of side question around, is there ever difficulty working in different countries with different time zones? Like, I don't know how you do it, you two. It's amazing.
Oh, we're on the phone.
Well,
good point to say. Alex is starting his day and we're like not far off finishing our day. So he's nice and fresh and we're...
Well, I was actually speaking to Alex's husband while I was over there a couple of weeks ago, and he was like, you spend more time talking to Alex than I do.
Yeah, I mean, luckily I'm an early riser. I like to get up very early, and Fee works hard and works late, so it kind of works. I mean, and she comes and visits Canada, and I'm in the UK a lot as well, so
definitely
we do make it work.
I mean, at all.
I think Fee's amazing at competently taking care of the day-to-day, running a business, the logistics behind the scenes, and it's what she does for her bread and butter. So the business in terms of day-to-day is very safe hands out there in the UK. And then I'm obviously supporting in various ways that I can, which isn't always in a immediately day-to-day available capacity. But between us, we're actually kind of on 24-hour coverage. So if there's a customer shopping at 1 a.m. for some reason, some people like late-night shopping, and they've got a question, they ping it to the website, I'll be able to answer to them on time.
Right there, isn't it?
Yeah. So, but we do have to schedule quite often, for me, like a 5 a.m. Saturday morning start, and we've got to work through the day, and it's Fee's afternoon Saturday. We do sometimes have to, just sacrifice time to build a business at this stage. And so it won't get built without that. So we're just willing to do what it takes and work as hard as we can on whatever time of day that means, or day of the week that means, to continue to do this, which we love to do. So we make it work.
It's our 20-year friendship as well before we start winning
really
the business
helps.
Together. We're able to be honest with each other. We're also able to look at each other and go, I'm so tired, but it's okay, we can get through it together. Like those things are really helpful
So I'm just gonna, I think we're at the point where I've got the biggest question that I'm gonna ask you guys. Do we think that non-alcoholic is going to outperform traditional alcohol in 2026, or do we think we're still a little bit too early?
I think we're too early for that.
What are we predicting?
I think traditional alcohol will always have a space. I don't think we can ever get away with that. But I do think it will take some more of the market share this year.
And what do we think we'll end the year on? this is predictions right here, then I'm going to hold you. No, I'm not, Alex.
I'm going to make you put your name on the line here.
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, you know, I still drink great wine as a sommelier. Like, my true love is just great crafted wine without alcohol, quite often with. And so I, you know, I think there's always going to be space in the market for loads of different styles of wine, you know, and non-alc is just one style of wine, one category of wine. And so, no, I don't think it will like overtake. It does outperform traditional wine in terms of growth right now anyway. So if we're looking at some metrics, yeah, absolutely. Non-alc is cruising past traditional wine, which most styles of traditional wine are seeing steady decline or static growth. So if we're looking at just from a growth perspective, then de-alkalized wine or non-alc wine is absolutely the winner. It's clear, but it still represents absolutely a small share of like global wine sales. It really does. And so it will continue to grow, but I think, you know, it will never overtake traditional wine in terms of like volume of sales. No, it won't. But as people flex in and out and as drinking non-alc becomes much more mainstream and normalized, we'll definitely see, you know, it's not just the core sober contingent that are looking for this. It's anyone and everyone. It'll become, you know, just like Coke Zero or just like, yeah, you know, different options within a certain category. It would just be like, oh, I'm having this today or that today, and it won't become so like it differentiated. Yeah,
it will. Like, are you having alk wine or non-alk wine today? And we talk a lot of it with hospitality venues of like, just create a non-alk wine list and ask them if they're drinking, and if they're not drinking, give them the non-alk wine list. And yes, I think, isn't it Guinness as well? And I don't know the stats, but I think they're 50% now is zero. It is the 00.
And like you say, when you see those generations coming up, you know, I'm a millennial, so if I go back to the WKD days of life growing up, it's so different to now.
Don't go back there.
No,
they don't drink at university the way we drank.
Hold on, I was never a WKD drinker.
I don't believe you.
But I was a hardcore vodka fan at the time.
Vodka Red Bull.
Yeah, no, just pure. I liked vodka, lime, and soda. That was my drink when we were younger. But when you look at those sort of younger generations coming through, like the Gen Zers, like all of those generations coming up, drinking, like you say, is just not a focus for them, and it's more about health, wellness, and all of that.
Experience, right? And it's about the experience that they're having, and it's not about how drunk can I get and how blackout can I get. It's what experience am I having? Am I going to remember it? Is this something I'm doing with my friends? Is this something brilliant that I can, you know, put on my Instagram, whatever it might be?
Yeah.
But it's the experience is what's most important, and I think that's where non-alc fits into it, is because it is the experience but without the hangover.
Yeah. So that takes us on to, how can people find you guys? Where can they find you? Obviously, you're online. That's the plug. Go for it. But go. Where can we find you?
Yeah. So we are on vinozero.co.uk. It's a website. We've got an online shop, so you can order from there, and then we normally get wines out to you within 48 hours. You can also find us on Instagram, which is at vinozero.uk.
Yeah.
And we're on...
And you can find us at
I don't even want to say the Facebook word because I'm worried I'm going to get us locked out.
Yeah, so
this wasn't
check
meant
us out
to be a test.
Yeah, all of those places. We also partner up with soberpoints.com, which is a really cool online platform where, because we obviously supply and support lots of trade and hospitality venues, an easy way to find where we supply is if you go to soberpoints.com. We're their partner, and you can actually toggle to VinoZero venues, and basically it's a user-based platform and a map-based where you can find local venues near you that have awesome non-alc options across the country. And you can also toggle to where we supply specifically as well, which is a really cool feature. Yeah. So aside from vinozero.co.uk or at Vinozero UK Insta, you can always jump on soberpoints.com and check out which bars, restaurants, hotels, and those kinds of places. You can also sign up to our newsletter because we always share loads of... Yeah, of course, because KW Marketing will love it if you do, as will we.
It'll really help us out.
But yeah, and... We also, like, you can find us at events. You know, we love to do events, as we talked about earlier. And so check out the newsletter or Instagram, and you can see different events that we're going to be participating in or co-hosting throughout the year. And they're always lots of fun because it's all about trying this stuff too, you know. Yeah. So in-person events is really, really fun.
And that's the key, Alex, isn't it? It's getting the products in your hands, trying them, seeing which ones you like, which ones you don't like. Because, you know, even with normal wine, not everybody loves a red, a white and a rosé. So exactly. Try it, see what you like. Get it,
work out which one's your what's your vibe, right? And
absolutely.
Just be curious around it. And I think don't assume that all the wines are going to be not very nice. They're all very good.
Yeah. And we are so we're going to try this one. This is our next one to try as a team, and we haven't tried it yet. So we'll be feeding back. We'll be that that feedback for you. But I'm really excited because, again, for us, I grew up in France. So for us, we grew up around the vineyards and tasting wine and all of that stuff. So to try a non-alc version, which Alex says is obviously it's about the wine and the tastings and all of that stuff, I'm really excited to try it. So
yeah,
my advice, go and try it. If anybody's listening, go and check the guys out online. Lots of big things to come for you guys, I think, in 2026, which is really exciting to watch. So thank you for joining us. Really, really thank you for joining us, because it means a lot that you've come on. I know a lot of our listeners will be in exactly the same spot as you, either whether it's in a brand new category, whether it's in a growing category. Again, there's just always those navigations and challenges when you're in that sort of online trade and e-com space as well. So thank you, Alex. 7 a.m. in Canada.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Thank you so much. And thanks for being a part of our journey. It's been really a pleasure to kind of get to know each other in a professional and personal capacity. And you guys have been a big piece of our success this last few months. So we really appreciate it.
You've really watched, like, you know, we've really gone from like here to here since you guys have been working alongside us. Aww. As well. Like the way that we kind of, the way we're seen online and the way that our digital space looks, it's like different space to where we were this time last year, and that's down to you guys.
Oh, sure. Thank you. That means a lot. And also, we love supporting you with it. I think you heard before we started the podcast, like, the team love working on Vino Zero. It's such a cool brand to work on. So thank you for having a cool brand for us to market, because that's not always the way it is when we're doing marketing behind the scenes. So yeah, it is definitely reciprocated. And here's to 2026.
Yay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kate. Thank you, Kate.
Bye.
All right, cheers.